Right, back here on OMF, we are live down here at Gillette Stadium. It is Patriots Monday. Time to talk with the coach. It's brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing. By the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work. And by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, good to see you.
Glenn, good to see you too. Christian,
Coach,
Luke,
Coach.
How are you doing?
Good. Nice win last night, 7-2 on the season. So let's start with the defense, because the defense made a huge impact in that game and made a couple of big stops, and then obviously that turnover. How difficult was it designing what you wanted to do against Aaron Rodgers? And obviously the score says you were pretty successful, but what impressed you the most about what your defense did against that offense?
Well, they're very hard to prepare for. They have a lot of good players, and they have a very good scheme. They're well-coached, and they have a great quarterback. So there were some plays that I thought we defended pretty well, and they still made plays on them. So sometimes it's just tough. But as a team, I thought that we really tried to play each guy, tried to play his responsibility. It's hard to overplay any player without being too late somewhere else. So kind of everybody had to take care of their area. And it's tough. They could run the ball. They can throw it. And they can extend plays.
You got some pressure on him, though, during the course of the game.
We did. He got out of most of it. Yeah. But, we're at least able to stay after him and keep the timing off a little bit. So it was a challenge. And we hung in there. We gave up some yards, gave up some drives, but forced five punts, turned the ball over once, stopped him once on down. So, you know, against them, that's pretty, I'd say you take that. But they're hard to defend.
Yeah, even in your post-game press conference, it almost felt like to me that there was a sense of relief that game was over.
Oh, my God.
You know, and you don't have to face it again because it not like you dodged a bullet, but, you know, he can just create so much damage, and you guys were able to counter that.
Yeah, no, look, I don't think they're saying, I wish we had the Patriots twice a year either. You know, I mean, it's a tough game, and I'm glad we don't have them twice a year. They're hard to prepare for, and they're really good, and they're good on defense too. They did a real good job of mixing it up on defense and changing and game planning and some things that were challenging. And so it's what it was. It was a good football game. It was a tough game. They're a tough team. It's similar to when we played them 4 years ago out there. Fortunately, the ball just, you know, bounced our way a little bit more last night than it did in Green Bay 4 years ago. But that's the kind of game it was.
So you guys, I thought, did pressure him. I know it was just that one sack. It was a huge sack. But I'm just looking at it. You guys are like 13 sacks, like 30th in the league. But it seems like you pressure the quarterbacks. Are sacks the only thing you look at, or the pressure stats? Because it seems like you guys aren't putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, again, the most important stat is points. That's what we really look at, and everything else falls below that. So the better you do in some other areas, sometimes they'll show up in points as well. But points is what really matters. So
I was wondering if there's like a sabermetric stat out there. Everyone's using the crazy numbers as far as you might. The sacks might not be there, but as far as pressuring the quarterback, you're doing exactly what you want them to do.
Well, I think we're affecting the quarterback in the passing game, and our coverage has been, again, it all has to tie together, so it doesn't do any good to pressure the quarterback and not be on the receivers. It doesn't do any good to be on the receivers and not pressure the quarterback, because eventually all receivers can get open in this league. So it's a combination of both and disrupting the timing of the passing game.
You had a couple of trick plays in the game that both were successful in this game. Christian was talking earlier about so much of that is timing during the game. How much of it also is that they've seen the way you've run maybe the screen, and now suddenly you come back, you watch how they defend it, and you come up with a wrinkle off of that in which maybe you can get Josh Gordon free, streaking down the field. How much of it is set up by a play that you ran earlier and the way they reacted to that play?
Sometimes there's an element of that, or a play you've seen on film, and this is kind of the way that they play it. Reverses sometimes fall into that category, the way they close or pursue on the backside or don't pursue on the backside. There's some element of that. And sometimes you just, it's just a solid play. Like the fundamental of a flea flicker is a solid play. Draw everybody up and then try to throw it behind them. So it comes down to execution and you're going to pretty much get the same reaction from everybody when you run that play. It's not one you can run a lot, but when you hand the ball off and he runs up into the line, it's going to draw people into the line of scrimmage. Now you have to be able to, you know, cleanly handle the ball, get a pitch back to the quarterback, and throw it on time and so forth. So plays like that are really more about execution than they are, you know, trying to match them up against a certain defense. You know, we hit it against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago in the championship game. It was a little different route, but it's the same idea. They came up, and Hogan got behind them, and it was a touchdown.
Yeah, see, I always feel like that play never works. I feel like, you know, the back either doesn't sell it enough or, you know, it's they don't bite on it. It ends up being thrown to the check down. You talk about execution. Like, what James White did as far as just buying himself time, I thought was something that was really made that play work.
No question. And the key to that play is really the back, because he's the one who's got to make the decision. He's got to run up into the line, kind of draw the defense to him, but not too long, and then pitch it back to the quarterback. And on that particular play, on the left side, on the offensive left side of the formation, the tackle and the end both ran up the field, so they were as deep as Brady was. So when James pitched it, he kind of had to, you know, usually a back won't pitch it in that situation. He'll
if he
sees somebody deep, he'll just run it and, you know, gain what he can gain. It's easy when you run up into the line, everybody's in front of you, then, you know, it's easy to pitch back because there's nobody back there by the quarterback. But when they're up the field like they were on that play, I thought James made a real good decision to he saw, or, you know, sensed that they were blocked by Tooney and Trent Brown, and then he pitched it back, and so Tom still, you know, was able to execute the play. But that's a tough choice for the back to make. And James, you know, we had James flipping it to Tom throwing it to Edelman. So, you know, some of our most dependable players operate in that play.
So James White gets kind of dinged up a little bit, but Patterson comes in and runs the ball. I think it was 4 carries, 40 yards, touchdown. The impressive thing is because you're not sure of getting out in space on the edge, but the way he runs inside the tackle has been – and you watch this guy run the football, and you think, and I know he's done it before a little bit in Oakland, but even, are you impressed at how he's been able to run inside?
Yeah, and CP runs hard now. He runs hard. He's big. He's fast. He's got good vision. I thought he found space a couple times on the lead play, on the play before the touchdown, on the outside play to the offensive left. He found space, read the blocks well, but when he gets moving, he's fast, and he runs with power. And it doesn't look like the defenders are in a big rush to tackle him. He's a hard running guy.
So between, I know he's run. What was he say? Between him running and Julian Edelman throwing, you get guys knocking on your door saying, "Hey, by the way, I can do this too. You know, I can kick. I can do whatever you need."
Well, we've had you know, some depth like you have every year, and so guys sometimes have to get different roles and step in and different do different things. And Dwayne Allen last night played 60-some plays and really did a good job for us. You know, it's different than Rob, but the role that he played and the way he performed that role and executed it was very good. So, yeah, we have a lot of guys on our team that did that.
I know Patterson has run before, but you told us last week, I asked you about the running back depth situation, and you said it was a concern. So you go through the week. Patterson obviously is part of your game plan. I don't know whether Sony Michel was a decision that was going to come down to the last couple of days or whatever. Why did you go with Patterson this week, and what were you seeing during the course of the week? Obviously, he ran a little bit for you last week.
Yeah, well, we just kind of built on last week. We did it for Buffalo. This was a short week. We were able to follow up with some of the things we did in Buffalo, add a couple things to it, and but he did a good job in Buffalo, and so we built on it. Hopefully we get Sony back soon. We'll see how that goes. And hopefully James is okay. And maybe the position can get stronger and get a little bit more depth there than we've had the last couple of weeks.
So when Whitehead for the Packers ended up smacking Andrews in the face, like there was a little – Andrews pushes him, and then it wasn't like Whitehead kind of like squared up on him, kind of just instinctively kind of like, you know, threw a punch. What didn't really feel like a punch, but he gets kicked out of the game for that. I'm just trying to figure out what the I guess there's a letter of the law and the spirit of the law. I mean, did you think or expect him to be kicked out for that?
Yeah, I didn't really see the play live. And again, like that's really doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. It matters what the officials think that saw the play, and that's the way it is in every game. So, but I mean, look, when you throw a punch at a guy, that's not a good thing. So. We don't ever want to do that. It's one thing to push a guy. It's another thing to throw a punch at him. It's another thing to touch an official. There's very strict guidelines on that. And if you cross the line, then you put yourself in a position where you have to suffer the consequences. So they made the call. I can't, I don't know. It's their call, their decision. And I'm not surprised that it happened. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have been surprised if it didn't happen, but you just can't go around punching guys in the face.
No, yeah, I guess that's probably a good rule to follow. What I was curious, do you guys have a designated person to walk that? If you guys have that situation, he had to take a perp walk, they walked him, it was the walk of shame, and there was somebody escorting him off the field just in case, I guess, he changed his mind, wanted to run on the field. Is that the strength coach's responsibility?
No. We would have that covered. I mean, the worst situation was in Miami when both teams came out of the same end zone with the Dolphins, mm-hmm. and Light and Crowder both got ejected, and both guys walked out down their respective sidelines and into the end zone and kind of got to the tunnel at the same time as their ejection. So
no carryover?
Situation. Well, then they kind of disappeared in the tunnel. I don't really know. You have to ask Light about that one, what happened. That was a classic moment, though. But of two guys being ejected from the game and then having to exit in the same tunnel, they've changed that now, so that won't happen in that stadium again. But that was I would say somewhat of a humorous moment in not really a funny situation, but it was, in retrospect, it was a humorous moment.
Well, speaking of humorous moment, are you guys planning something special for Tom Brady when he gets his 1,000th yard? He's just one shy. Yeah. Stop the game, get him the ball.
Yeah, a certificate, maybe?
50 yards basically a year. Is that what it comes down to?
I guess. Look, we're not individual stats. They are what they are. We all have them. And in the end, we play for the team goals. So I think we all feel that way. I'm sure Tom does.
Didn't he say? I think he said it was embarrassing if they stopped the game, if they do it.
But it did
kind
seem
of embarrassing. I only have 1,000.
Even on the goal line, it almost seemed like Green Bay finally did what, as a viewer, we wonder why a lot of teams don't do in that quarterback sneak. Looks like they had four guys over center to prevent that quarterback sneak. Is that what you saw, the goal line? I think it was 3rd and 1, then 4th and 1?
Yeah, they were in there tight. We gave it to James for a touchdown, and then CP outside, those plays scored. So it's hard on the goal line to take away everything. You take away one thing, you're light on something else. They changed their – again, that Green Bay did a good job. They changed up some things defensively, and that's always a little bit of an adjustment, and they got us on a few things. We got them on a few things, but they did a good job mixing it up.
I want to ask you about challenges in the game yesterday and the information that you get and Ernie upstairs. The Adams ball that hit the ground. How quickly do you get that information? And especially now, because you know what you do. You get Tom Brady to get up there and snap the ball right away if there's anything in question. So you literally had 14 seconds, Bill, to make that decision on that play. What information can you get in 14 seconds to make that decision?
Well, on that particular play, it was right in front of us. It was literally probably 5 yards away from it, and I was behind it. But it was as it happened, I had my doubts about the play, and then we were able to get a quick confirmation upstairs. And I threw the flag, I think, just about as they were about ready to snap the ball. So in that type of situation, the guys in the press box, they can see the offense coming to the line. They need a quick decision on that. And if it's clean, which they had a clean look at it, evidently, they said, I said it's a ball on the ground. And they said, he didn't get it. And so I challenged it.
Okay, and the sideline.
But sometimes you don't get that view. And if you do, then you – great. And if you don't, then you have to decide do you want to challenge a play depending on the impact of the play? So if it's going to make a huge impact in the game, maybe if it's 10-90, you still challenge it because it's such a huge play. If it's a play that gains 6 yards and it doesn't really matter, then And that doesn't matter. But if it's a six-yard gain, then do you really want to, even if it's 80-20, do you really want to potentially lose a challenge right. for a play that doesn't really have that much of an impact in the game? So there's a pretty big swing there. And then the other question, as you pointed out, is how certain are you that you're right? If you're 100% certain that you're right, then in most cases you might as well go ahead and challenge it because you're still limited to three, so that would count as one even if you get it right. If there's any doubt that it may not, then you know, then you effectively lose two challenges, not one, because you know you go from two to one where potentially you could have three.
So. I got to believe it's stressful because the quarterbacks now, and Tom, you guys are doing it now. You're rushing right up to that line, and you're snapping if it's in question.
Yeah.
And the other one was that sideline with Gordon. Now, looking at the replay, looked like he tapped the toe inbounds, and then the heel came out of bounds. But when you're trying to figure that out, is that clear-cut evidence that can overturn a play? Don't you also have to think of that? Say, yeah. Well, looks like it's in, but are they gonna? Is that enough video for them to make that call?
Exactly, and that's you definitely have to think about that, Glenn. Sure, because on the Adams catch, it was ruled a catch, so you really have to see the ball hit the ground. If it's close, then you let it go. And on the Gordon play, that was called incomplete, so we had to be sure that second foot was in bounds, and it looked like the second foot came down on the view that. That we saw, because we talked about that play, that didn't look like that foot was in bounds. Now, maybe on closer look it was, I'm not sure, but, you know, it looked like it was on the white, so that's why we didn't challenge that one. A little bit the same thing on the first down conversion to Adams there in the fourth quarter. It was kind of right on the line. When Harmon hit him, he was slanting over the middle, it was third and like six or seven, something like that. Harmon hit him. It looked like it was short of the line. And we were expecting it to be fourth and one, and they gave him the first down. And it was close, but since they gave it to him again, he would clearly have had to have been short, and it was close. I'm not sure that he was, so you know we let that one go.
So Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans, you guys are going up there to see him. Is he the first, I guess, not just this generation, I guess, but since you've been a coach, the first player – turned head coach that you've had to go against? I know, I'm sure there's been players that have been assistant coaches, but Mike's obviously a head coach.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And the question I'm getting a lot is, when you were playing with Mike when he was a teammate of mine, you know, did you know he was going to be a coach? My answer was always yes. But did you have any indication based on what you saw that he had, you know, professional football head coach material?
Well, he talked about coaching after playing all the way from the time back when we signed him, when he was at Pittsburgh and when we first – well, I met him when he was at Ohio State. Actually, it might have gone back that far in the initial pre-draft interviews. You know, what do you want to do after you finish playing football and things like mm-hmm. that. And so he was always pretty upfront about that, about wanting to coach. And then when we got him as a player, he – expressed that as well. You know, when I get done playing, I'd like to coach and so forth. And and as you know, in practice, he practiced a lot, not only on defense but on scout team. He would run, play outside linebacker, play inside linebacker, play defensive end, play strong safety, play free safety. And he just, you know, was always in good condition, enjoyed mm-hmm. practicing, enjoyed taking a lot of reps, and enjoyed playing different positions, including tight end, as you know. So
thanks for that.
Yeah.
That was the other question
Red
I got. Zone. That was the other question I got. How do you feel about Mike Vrabel playing tight end?
That
I should ask you.
10 touchdown passes.
I need to ask you.
Not good for him, though.
The genesis of this is so funny because I still talk to Dan Graham. We still and Ben's still playing.
Yeah.
So I remember I was like, man, we had a first-round pick in Ben Watson, a first-round pick in Dan Graham, of course, me. And I was like, wow, he still put Mike Vrabel in there. I don't know what we did to Bill, but he sure was trying to stick it to us. I know what it is. Somebody must have had some, you know, smart aleck comment to you, and you said, you know what, I'll prove to you who's in control. The genesis of that, like, do you remember how it even started, or was it a need-based thing? Did somebody get
hurt? Yeah, I'm sure it started as a need-based thing.
So
yeah,
you weren't
sure.
just trying to screw with us?
What, I do that?
I don't know.
You know, I wouldn't do that.
have you talked with him? I know you obviously have assistance.
Yeah,
mentoring
no,
him at all.
Yeah. Well, no, Mike and I have talked. Yeah, I talked when he was at Ohio State, yeah. when he was at Houston, and when he's at Tennessee. I have a ton of respect for Mike and all that he did for us here, and you know, wish him well. Other than this week,
yeah.
But you know, Mike and his family, and I mean, he's, you know, he's been was a great Patriot. He's been a great friend. Been a great. I think he's you know, represents the game well. Yeah. The way he played it, the way he's coached it, and his passion for it. So yeah, I mean, I love Mike Vrabel. Yeah. I just not this week, but otherwise.
Yeah. You know, I think his son actually goes to BC.
He does. Yeah, he's a freshman there. Yeah, he's backup left tackle. Yeah, yeah. And no, I know Mike was up at the UMass game early in the season, right before the. The opener, you know, that Labor Day weekend. And so, yeah, they you know, Mike and his family, Jen, I mean, he's, it's, you know, I really wish him all the best.
Christian, it's good you've gotten over it, though.
Well, not necessarily. Closure could be a...
Closure?
Yeah, closure.
This is closure?
Good. Yeah, sure.
So, Coach, I was wondering, because I think it was four of the last five of the last seven primetime games. Is it nice to get that over with? You only got a couple 4 o'clocks. Does it matter to you, or...
It's nice not to play at night. Absolutely. Yeah, the night games kill you, and they get you the next day. And really, it takes you a couple days to get by them.
That's a lot.
Yeah, four of the last five. So, but, you know, look, with every the schedule is what it is, and every long week's a short week. And so whenever we play, we just got to be ready to go. But it's, yeah, they're hard. They are, especially – I thought our team did a great job this week. I told them that after the game. I thought they did a great job coming off the Monday night game on the road. Short week, Green Bay, which is a hard team to prepare for, very hard to prepare for. Really, you know, with less time and kind of less opportunity, really, really worked hard. I thought they did a good job all week and then, you know, played hard last night. So that's good.
I know the big fellow's going to ask you for your drive of the game. I just wanted, before he did that, to ask you about that first drive because I thought that was as efficient on the up-tempo as any drive I've seen all season long. It almost seemed easy, Bill. And it got you out of the gate quickly.
Well, I think that was it was well executed, good tempo. Tom made some good decisions. Josh made some good calls. We blocked well. We had a number of things going there. They very quickly on the next series changed their defensive structure and you know, gave us a new look. And then they, you know, switched it around again later on in the game in the second half. So the way it started and the way it ended up were not the same at all. There were several different, say, digressions in there along the way. And so they did a good job of adjusting to what we did. And then we had to adjust, and it was kind of back and forth one of those games. But, you know, as it turned out, that was a big drive, big points, and, you know, able to play most of the game from ahead. Yep. So it was, you know, offensively we were ready to go and able to capitalize on some opportunities.
All right, I already think I know what the answer to this question is going to
be. Yeah, let's go with that.
But
we
wrap
so
things
go.
Up with
all
our
right.
Mercedes-Benz drive of the week.
Second best.
The second best? Was that the best drive of the week?
Oh, that was a big one. Yeah, you know, the CP drive was a good drive too, you know, where he ran, we got the penalty, and they ran a couple more times, ran inside, ran outside, and scored from the 5 yard line. And that was another impressive drive. And then after that, then, you know, Green Bay went and kind of changed their defense to be, say, more run and a little bit better against the running game. And so then the next time, start third quarter, you know, we dealt with a little bit of a different. Kind of a different defensive system, if you will. So it was each one of those drives interesting. Each one of those successful drives kind of precipitated some movement on the other side of the ball very quickly, and so it was a multiple adjustment game.
All right, so our driver of the week was brought to you by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
And this entire conversation with the coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. 7-2, we're on to Tennessee. We'll see you next Monday right back here.
All right? Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Good luck, Coach.
Coach Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.